السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: قد أفلح من تزكى. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, in the last few weeks we have tried to shed light upon the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. The acceptance of this dua was a manifestation on the arrival of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I am alluding to the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah: Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan minhum يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And this is Ayat 129. One of the aspects of the dua was that I want a person to be sent from my lineage that will sanctify people, that will purify people. So for the last few weeks we have tried to introduce ourselves to the true deep definition of sanctity, purification. And what we have arrived at is that purification in reality takes place at the center that is known as the heart. So this is not alluding to external purification, but it is alluding to internal purification, that the heart should be purified. Now, if we analyze what we do and what we don't do in life, and this is for each one of us to analyze and study and contemplate, we will realize that there are, before we even use this machine of a'mal saliha, or this machine of a'mal sayyi'ah, before we even activate it, before it becomes operational, there are certain feelings that emerge within. And these feelings have a great role to play in how we utilize the machine. So if there are feelings of love, feelings of raham, then this hand will give. True? And if there is feelings of hatred, feelings of vengeance, then this hand will take. So this hand can give and this hand can take. But before it gives or before it takes, there are feelings that erupt within. We can take another example, that there are feelings of muhabba, there's a feelings of raham, compassion, and immediately the tongue constructs, or you can say there is a sentence that is constructed by the person, and it is the tongue that is used to express those feelings, and it melts the heart. So he will say, I love you, you are dear to me. He will speak to his wife in a very, very loving manner, to his parents in a very loving manner. But before even he speaks, there are feelings. And these feelings, they determine how the person is going to use the machine. And if there is hatred inside, he will say words that will burn the heart. So it is most, most important that a person sanctify himself within. If he does not sanctify himself within, purify himself within, then there is a high probability, high probability that he will do the wrong by himself and wrong towards others. Now, before we entertain the deep discussion pertaining to the feelings that erupt, I would like to make mention of the ruling. Now, there's a lot of people that they say, and it happens to us maybe on a daily basis, and if not on a daily basis, maybe every second or third week, every second or third day. They say, look, we have feelings. I don't like this person. I hate the person. I don't have feelings towards him. I would like him to be destroyed. I would like him to fail, but I don't say it. True? So there's feelings inside that are not productive, that are not positive. They are negative. Just think about it. One person sees another brother and he wants that brother to be destroyed. He wants Allah to throw him off the height that he enjoys right now. He has hasad, he has jealousy. One person is beating another and he wants Allah in his mind, in his heart. And I think we will relate to this. He wants him to drop right to the bottom. Now he knows that hasad, and he knows that these ill feelings are disastrous. They are unlawful. But he says, look, I haven't uttered a word to hurt his feelings. I haven't used my pull. I haven't flexed my muscle to bring him down. So is this wrong or not? You understand where I'm coming from? Can I get a nod? Do we relate to these kinds of feelings? We do relate to these kinds of feelings. So the scholars, they have studied the Quran from cover to cover. And Allah fill the qubur of the awliya with nur. And they have come up with the understanding that they have extracted from the last section of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the last section of Surah Al-Baqarah in itself carries a lot of weight. How many times we hear the imma in salah recite Amana ar-Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun? And how many a times we go to the cemetery and we hear a person reciting the last section at the grave, Amana ar-Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun, in which Allah Almighty has stipulated the tenets and the articles of faith. But the last section starts from verse 284 and it comes to an end at 286. So there's three verses in the last section. Now, the first verse of the last section starts from a tremendous verse. And I would like you to travel with me to the time of the Sahaba, to really appreciate the profound, the deep meaning of this one ayah. Now, before we even speak about the ayah, let's visualize and depict what the Sahaba are experiencing in the life that they spend in Makkah and in the life that they spend in Madinatul Munawwara. It was trials over trials. It was testing after testing. But indeed, it was all worth it because they were receiving bounties and bliss from above, spiritual, and they were in the noble presence of Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the life was trials. It was an embodiment of imtihan, ibtila. Now Allah Almighty, and they were trying their best, and they executed the laws of Allah to perfection. And that's why at the end of the test, Allah Almighty said, "Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an." So before they even departed from this dunya, before even completing the complete test, Allah gave them the certificate of acceptance and high colors, you know, high performance. So you have passed. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Now, think about this. I want you to depict this. Suddenly they receive a verse. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam receives a verse. 284 Surah Al-Baqarah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That's tremendous. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth belongs to Allah. That's fine. Now listen to the next part. And listen to this ayah as you are receiving it. As you are receiving it. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. That will frighten you. The meaning more or less is, whatever you disclose within yourselves and whatever you conceal, you will be called for the account of it. Now the Sahaba, they were discharging the A'mal to the best of their ability. Anything that Allah sent down and anything that the Nabi of Allah made mention of, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people implemented. They did not hesitate. They did not procrastinate. They did not delay. They had no ambiguity. They had no doubt in their mind. The execution was perfect. But Allah Almighty says, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Meaning more or less is, whatever you hide, whatever you reveal, on the day of judgment, Allah will take the hisab of it. The Sahaba come to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this law we cannot fathom. This law we cannot digest. There are certain things that we do with our body, fair enough. If we are questioned about our outwardly actions, our apparent actions, fair enough. But we have no control with many, many thoughts that emerge within. And we know that if we are taken to task, and if we have to give an account of the internal thoughts, internal feelings, we will be doomed. Now you think about it, let's pause it, let's halt. If the law stood till today, do you think we had a chance? We don't even have a chance with our outwardly actions. Would we have a chance with our internal feelings? So the Sahaba say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are we going to do? Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his profound way of approach, he educated the Sahaba. He said, whose law is this? This is the law of Allah. Who is the creator of you? Allah is the creator. So why are you reacting in this fashion? If Allah wants to question you about your external and internal actions and feelings, say, Sami'na wa ata'na. Say, we have heard, this is the order of my Allah, our Allah. He wants us to be questioned about our internal feelings. Alhamdulillah, it is Allah, you created us. We're not going to dictate the terms. We're not going to stipulate the conditions. Allah is going to stipulate. So, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard what Allah has said and we obey. Nabi Akram Muhammad said, there were past nations, when they used to hear revelation, they used to analyze the revelation. They did not consider the one who sent the revelation. They were studying the revelation, not the one that sent the revelation. And they said, oh, if it is something that is favorable, something that I feel that is easy to practice, sami'na wa ata'na. And if it is something that I feel that I can't practice, sami'na wa asayna. He says, I have heard but I don't obey. So don't react like those people. Be very, very positive in your approach. Do not underestimate your ability. That's the crux of the matter. Do not underestimate your ability. Meaning that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you have the strength to even control your thoughts. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know that after a few moments the verse will be abrogated. He did not know. But he said, say sami'na wa ata'na, meaning that I will purify you to such a high level that even your thoughts will be in tune, in conformity with what Allah wants. That is the meaning of this. That is the deep meaning of this. So don't take a back step. Allah says, you can fulfill it. Now the Sahaba, they started to say, sami'na wa ata'na. Allah ne hamara hisab lena hai. Andar ka bhi, bahar ka bhi, theek hai. If Allah is going to judge us inside, outside, alhamdulillah, sami'na wa ata'na, sami'na wa ata'na. Immediately, Allah Rabbul Izzat favored the Sahaba. And in reality, He was favoring us. Sahaba could pass with that test because they had the greatest teacher educating them, sharing his nur with them. Through that he could sanctify them. They could have a grasp over their thoughts and their feelings. But it was people like us that will be very, very weak. Very, very far away. Our vessel has drifted so far away from Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The time is not conducive. We are tempted. We collapse many a times throughout the day. There are so many thoughts that pass through our mind. There are good thoughts and there are bad thoughts. So immediately Allah Rabbul Izzat sent down the verse to abrogate, not the verse, but to abrogate the law of the verse. The law of the verse. And what did Allah say in the last verse of Surah Al-Baqarah? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, laha ma kasabat wa 'alayha maktasabat. Allah will not burden a person beyond his scope. Allah will not burden a person beyond his scope. He will receive reward for what he has earned. And he will receive punishment for what he has earned. Meaning that when your body reacts to what you think, that's what Allah will judge on the day of judgment. That is what Allah will judge on the day of judgment. Then there is a fine commentary to even this verse that favors the weak people like us, that favors the people of faith. Allah Almighty says, when you make an intention, you are rewarded for it. Subhanallah. The verse is, laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktasabat. You will receive reward for what you have earned, and you will be punished for what you have earned. But then there's fine detail to this as well. This is another level of abrogation, you can say. Or you can say inclusion to the law, that if a person makes intention, he will even be rewarded for that intention. His body has not followed. He has not committed to the good. He will still be rewarded. And then one step further, the mercy of Allah comes to our rescue once again, that if a person makes an ill intention and then he abstains, he's rewarded for that as well. Subhanallah. This is the Qudrat of Allah. This is the Rahm of Allah Almighty. Now, if there are eruptions, and this happens with all of us, eruptions of negative thoughts, bad feelings, but we don't react, we're not going to be questioned on the day of judgment. But let me tell you, in our observation, we have read many a times, you will agree in a few moments, when fire burns, certain sections of fire engulf certain sections of fire. Aag ko khati hai. So when there's fire, you kindle a fire, like it has been said about the fire of hell, there are certain sections of hell that complain to Allah that, Ya Allah, keep us far away from this section because it is engulfing us. It is eating us away. So these, if we depict these negative feelings as fire, it is burning us within, even if the body is not reacting. So we have to immediately address the problem. We have to immediately address the problem. If we don't address the problem, then we are in a constant battle. Allah wants us to enjoy life. Allah wants us to blossom and flourish. If the inside is weakened by negative feelings, negative thoughts, you can't blossom. Because you are suppressing yourself all the time. I made mention of this many a times. If you are suppressing yourself all the time, you can't blossom. You want to blossom, you want to flourish, you want to enjoy. What do the awliya say? That when you make dhikr, you want to enjoy the dhikr. When you pray, you want to enjoy the prayer. When you give, you want to enjoy that giving. This will not happen if purification has not taken place. You may suppress it, and you may be aware of your condition, and you may be suppressing it, but you won't enjoy it because you are in a constant battle. One of the noble features of the noble sanctuary known as the Haram of Makkah is that it is aman. That there is aman there. There is peace there. This is one of the characteristics of Makkah. There is peace there. We have to be at peace within. Indeed, in the start, Nabi Kareem Sallam, with the Sahaba, with the noble group, made a deep, high level of endeavor in the start. But what was the reward? Aman. Aman came at the end. So before, they could not pray in the noble sanctuary. They had to leave their dwellings. But a time came that they returned back, and Allah granted them aman. That same principle applies to us, because each one of us are embodiment of this entire universe. The whole universe is carried in this one body. That is another lecture in another time. This whole body is an embodiment of the entire universe. We have to be at peace within. If there are too many ill thoughts, evil thoughts, bad thoughts, and we're trying to suppress them, it is going to drain us. It's going to take all our energy. So it is most, most important that indeed we do not allow the body to react to the ill feelings. But then there's one step further to be taken. How to eradicate these feelings that are not conducive to the flourishment of a believer. And this is a major topic that inshallah, if Allah wills, we will discuss in time to come. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, Brisbane being a very small city, very small city, we don't get many, many people of this caliber that can guide us on this spiritual journey. We don't get many, many people that can guide us on this spiritual journey. You'll get many prolific speakers. You'll get many, many speakers that will come entertain. We will enjoy the discussion, the talk. They will leave. And with their leaving, we will leave as well, back to our home. With their leaving, we will leave and we'll go back home. But it doesn't make much of a change. Indeed, at that time, because it is a noble gathering, there will be some level of feeling. But afterwards, we're back to square one. So there's only a few people, a handful of people in the world that have dedicated their life to this spiritual path. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have a sheikh from Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He is visiting us right now. I have immensely benefited from him myself. I can't say I have immensely benefited. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. I have benefited from the company of the Shaykh, and I will request my noble congregation to benefit as well. You cannot understand without experience. You know, if we're sitting here right now and we say that the Sahaba, they were sitting with Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can put any words to it, but it won't justify the experience the Sahaba had. Now the Quran says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Fear Allah, believers, us. Fear Allah, and then Allah says, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. How will you develop fear? How will you develop that ta'alluq of taqwa with Allah Almighty? Be with the sadiqeen. Now I ask you a question. Is the Qur'an for the Sahaba? Or is the Qur'an till the Day of Judgment? You tell me. So if Allah says, establish taqwa, if this verse is practical and operational, there has to be sadiqeen. Has to be sadiqeen. If we say that there are no sadiqeen, righteous people in the world, that means that this verse cannot be practiced. Allah Almighty is saying that if you want to develop taqwa, you have to be with the pious people. Just like the Sahaba were in the presence of Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the good rubbed off. We need people that when we sit with them, their good rubs off on us. Sitting with a book, sitting with Bukhari, sitting with Muslim, the hadith books, sitting with the Quran indeed is beneficial, but it will not uproot the evil that is inside. It is most important that we avail from these opportunities, because the city that we are, you know, many, many great scholars come to Sydney and Melbourne, but not many come of this tariqah, come to Brisbane. So after Salatul Jumu'ah, if anyone is interested, please contact me. I'll give you the details. We've got a few more days and then Shaykh will be returning back. So I would like my brothers to sit in the majlis and see and experience where your heart goes and what you feel in the presence of Shaykh. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant his stay more barakah, and Allah Rabbul Izzat allow the brothers and the sisters of Brisbane to benefit. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaykum.